Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity we have to come together and just to praise and to worship you. Father, that we have the ability to be with our brothers and sisters today as we walk this life that you've called us to walk. Lord, may we just put down anything we're holding on to. May we put it at the feet of the cross this morning. May we make you our focus. May we remove the distractions of life and just praise you for your goodness, your mercy, and the love that you have for us. Lord, we thank you for the offerings. Lord, we ask that it be used for your glory and not our own. In Jesus' name, amen. Time of service. You guys already know that. This is the place where we have that opportunity to pray for those who don't know Jesus in our lives, because we all know somebody who doesn't know who Christ is. And one of the great privileges is that when it comes to sharing our faith, we know that God is with us, but we get to work with him in this. This isn't something we have to do on our own. It isn't something that God just does. This is our partnership where we get to tell the world about who Jesus is. And one of the ways that we can share Jesus is praying for people. And that's why we have My Three. And I want to encourage you guys, if you've not gotten into that habit, pursue that habit of praying each and every day for those who don't know Jesus. Lift Him up by name, because we know He changes lives. You know, I think most of us in here have a story of how Jesus has transformed our lives. Can you imagine if your friends and family can have that same story? So what I want us to do at this time is I want you to think of those three people that don't know Jesus in your life, and I want you to lift them up by name, making every effort. But don't just do it today. Do it every day throughout the week. And we know that God hears our prayers, and He's transformed many of lives already. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You right now, and Lord, we know many around us don't know who You are. They have not had that opportunity. Or maybe, Father, they've just had that hard heart where they've refused. Lord, I ask that You do a new work inside of each one of them. Father, as we lift them up by name in this moment, Father, You know who they are. You know how much they mean to us. Lord, we ask that You do new work, that You soften even the hardest of hearts. That, Lord, that they look to You, that they see who You are, and that You love them, and that You cherish them, and that You desire that relationship with them. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to praise and worship this morning.
God is great, give Him all the praise. Hallelujah, name above all names. Fire in His eyes, healing in His veins. Everywhere is glory on display. Take a look at those spots, you can name them all. Before His throne, every knee falls. The demons have to run, the angels have to praise. Even the wind and waves obey our God.
With wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God.
awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God, what an awesome God.
Yeah, He is awesome. Sing it with me.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise
I raise up.
what you're facing this morning.
I raise a hallelujah. I raise a
deserve all the glory and the praise. Amen.
It's great to be here with everybody this morning. I want to welcome our guests that are here with us this morning as well. And I also want to welcome those joining us online and on the radio. We're thankful for each and every one of you. But before we get going into the message this morning, let's dive in to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your Son and the example that he shows us on how to live, how to treat others. Father, we thank you for your words. Lord, may we not take that for granted. Lord, I ask that this morning that it is your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, I pray that if anything is said that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, Father, may it penetrate even the hardest of hearts. May we examine ourselves to live a life that reflects you to the world around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, we are going to be back in Luke chapter 13 again, and we're going to be picking up where we left off last week. And if you recall, we took a look at the first 9 verses last week of Luke chapter 13. And it was inside this passage that we were reminded that Jesus is a patient gardener, that he's patient with us, but on the same hand, we know that patience doesn't last forever. I don't think it comes to much of a surprise to anyone that is sitting here this morning, but each one of us have sin in our lives. Each one of us have sinned at different times, and if we're honest with ourselves, we have different things that we struggle with throughout our lives and things that we face, and we have different things that we wrestle with. On top of that, often what do we like to do? We were reminded last week, we often like to elevate different sins, don't we? Causing some to be worse than others, making it out that way. We use excuses for our own sin in our lives, and we say things like, well, at least we're not as bad as that person over there. But the truth is, sin is all nasty to God. He doesn't like any of it. And in the text last week, we saw Jesus using 2 different stories to actually point this out to the crowd around him. The first was the story of the Galileans that the Pilate had killed that were on their way to the temple to make a sacrifice. And the second one was 18 people that died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them and killed them. And these were both horrible accidents and situations that happened. But for some reason, the people of the day believed that this was a punishment because of how extra sinful these people must have been. That God was laying down this punishment and causing them to suffer to the point of death. But Jesus reminded us and the people last week that unless we repent and turn to him, we all face the same thing. It wasn't because they were extra sinful. It wasn't for anything like that. That each one of us will face that one day because none of us are good enough on our own. None of us can work out our way into heaven by having our good outweigh the bad. That's not how it works. Instead, it's in Christ and Christ alone that we're saved. And he reminded us. And we were also reminded in the text that God is patient with us to come to that realization, to come to that understanding. And he desires this relationship with us. And to make this point a little clearer, Jesus used the parable of the fig tree in the garden that was bearing no fruit. That it's not just enough to say that we're Christian. It's not just enough to go around and say something. But instead, it's about a relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's about bearing good fruit and showing it in our lives. And God was patient with us to bear that fruit. But his patience doesn't last forever. God will not tolerate unfaithfulness forever. He will not tolerate a life away from him forever. Instead, the parable points out that he's given us everything we need to grow in that knowledge and that relationship with him. And he did that through the very word of God, through the Holy Spirit. And he's given us each other to encourage each other in that growth. But one day the end will come. And if we're not found in Christ, there's a real danger that we face. And we're no better than the people who fell or Pilate had killed. This morning, though, we see Jesus emphasizing more about this holy living, about choosing him and what it looks like to model our lives after him. And for those who want to follow along, we're going to be in Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. All right? And I know many of us have grown up differently. Is that a fair thing to say? That most of us have grown up in different ways. We come from different traditions. We come from different backgrounds. You know, some of you grew up where everything was provided for you as you needed it. You know, if you needed a new pair of shoes, mom and dad went out and they got you a new pair of shoes. If you wanted that new shirt, you got the new shirt. Everything was just kind of taken care of. You never had to worry about where your meal was coming from. You never had to worry about, do mom and dad love me? All of those things were always kind of provided for you. And you didn't really have to figure things out. And then for some of you, you had to struggle early on in life, where you had to be concerned about where the food is coming from. You had to be concerned about how you're going to get the next thing that you needed, because there was a struggle in life. There's different areas. Each one of us have different struggles and different areas that we've grown up in. And I know some of you here have grown up going to church every Sunday. You know, you got up Sunday morning. It really wasn't an option. You were voluntold to show up each and every week. On top of that, you'd end up at Sunday school and then worship service. And some of you even went to church Sunday night every week because that's just what you did. And maybe you had Wednesday night service as well. And that was, if the church doors were open, you were there, right? That's where some are at. And when summer rolled around, VBS was never an option. It was just what you did. And you were given every opportunity under the sun to know who Jesus was. But on the same hand, there are some of you who grew up in a home that the name of Jesus was never spoken. And if it was, it was never spoken of in a positive light. And this is all because we've all grown up differently with different experiences, different traditions. Even those of us who've grown up in church have different backgrounds, have different experiences and traditions. I know some of you here this morning have grown up here in the Church of God your entire life. Some of you grew up Baptist. Some of you Lutheran, Pentecostal. Some of you even gone to Catholic church. And some of you even to Mennonite and Amish. That one just me. And it doesn't matter which one of those traditions you've grown up in. Instead, it's just a reminder that each and every one of us have grown up differently, with different backgrounds, different traditions. And each of these traditions bring about different ways of doing things. And so often we've allowed these different ways to divide us. Let's use baptism for an example. Did you know some traditions baptize people forward? You got to dunk them forward. Some traditions baptize people backwards. Some traditions you have to do it three times, once for the Father, once for the Son, once for the Holy Spirit. In some traditions, you hold them up under until the bubble stops. But the point I'm trying to make, I was seeing if you guys were paying attention. But the point I'm trying to make is it's not necessarily how you're baptized. It's the heart of the matter, right? It's about celebrating the fact that a life is transformed. It's about publicly declaring that our faith and hope is found in Christ and Christ alone. It's about taking care of God's people. It's about loving God and loving others. Yet sometimes we hold on to our traditions so strongly that we can actually begin to miss what Jesus is doing in the midst of our lives. We can become so distracted about how things used to be that we forget what God is doing right now, because it doesn't line up how we've always done things. Can you imagine watching somebody being baptized, publicly declaring their faith, being all excited that that is happening, only to sit there and criticize it because the way they dunked them didn't line up with your tradition? And I use this because I think we can all understand the absurdity of it. But there's many other areas that we can fall into this exact same category. This morning, inside of our text, we see actually this happening where Jesus is doing something amazing, but it cuts against the tradition of the day, not against the Word of God. That stands as it is, but it cuts against the tradition and the way that people were used to it. Yet it showed God's love, grace, and mercy to the world around him, and there was people who didn't like it. So let's dive in this morning, starting with verse 10, as it kind of sets the stage, and it says, as he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. So right out of the gate, we know the scenario that's going on. The stage has been set. Jesus is once again inside of one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. He's teaching. So a basic way of looking at it, if you're not familiar with this terminology, he was going to church, there's your synagogue, and he was preaching. That's what Jesus is doing. He is there in the midst of all of this. And this is nothing new. Jesus has done this many times and has taught inside of the synagogues over and over again throughout his earthly ministry. But it seems every time that Jesus steps into a synagogue and begins to teach, he ends up upsetting the leadership of the day. And we'll see that today is no different than any other time. One thing that I want us to keep in mind is that in this particular time in Jesus' earthly ministry, that he was already heading towards Jerusalem. He was heading towards the cross. This was at the end, towards the end of his earthly ministry. On top of that, he's already made waves all over the place, throughout the Jewish and the Roman communities. And there are people who absolutely love Jesus. They will follow him wherever he goes while he's out in there. But there are people who also absolutely hate him. And it's primarily the leadership, those in power, that have the biggest struggle with Jesus. And they've been looking for ways to get rid of him. But here's Jesus in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he's teaching. And while he was teaching, it tells us in verse 11, a woman was there who had been disabled by a spirit for over 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. I want to point something out here. I wonder if I had been crippled for 18 years. I want you to think about that. If you've been crippled for 18 years, would you be as faithful to worship God every week? Just think about that for a moment. If you've been dealing with those struggles for 18 years, you know, when we first read this, where does our mind go? This poor woman, 18 years of misery, not being able to stand up, not being able to really do much of anything. Doesn't sound like a good time, does it? But that's what we've got going on. And I have no doubt that this woman has said many prayers throughout her life. Prayers that God would heal her, prayers that God would restore her life, prayers for just some relief. Yet here she is 18 years later, still afflicted, still in pain, still not able to stand up straight. But she wasn't bitter. She wasn't resentful by anything that we can tell. Instead, she was in the synagogue. She was at church, praising and worshiping God, even in the midst of it all. And I think that can become really hard for us to imagine sometimes. Because let's be honest, when the storms of life hit us, when things start to become difficult in life, we start asking the question, where is God in all of this, don't we? We start to wonder, why would he let me go through this? It's so easy for us to start to become bitter and resentful towards God when these storms of life keep hitting us over and over again, where we feel like there's no relief. And I'm not here this morning to tell you exactly why God allows bad things to happen sometimes. Why he allows other things to happen and one thing's not and so forth. Don't get me wrong. I know sometimes it's because of individual sin. You know, if you do stupid things, you win stupid prizes often. That's kind of how it works. But God also protects us sometimes from our own stupidity. Other times, it's because we live in a fallen world. That nothing will be perfect till we see Jesus face to face. But what I do want to tell you is that no matter what we're facing in life, we can trust that God is with us through it. Through the good and bad situations in life, we can be assured that he stands right there in the struggles with us. And that is something that we can find assurance in, is that we don't have to face any of this stuff alone. Just like the woman in her story this morning, we don't know why she went through all of this for 18 years of suffering, but we do know this: Jesus saw her. In fact, it tells us in verse 12, when Jesus saw her, he called out to her, "Woman, you are free of your disability." Here's a woman that most likely was towards the back of the crowd. She wouldn't have been up front. One, she was a woman, so she wouldn't have been sitting up front by the teacher at the time. And on top of that, she was crippled. She would have been back in the corner, tucked away from everyone else. We have to remember at this point in history, those with disabilities, ailments, sicknesses, whatever, were often heavily looked down on. It was just assumed that the reason that they had all of this, why they had the ailments, why they had the disability, was because of sin in their own life or the sin of their parents, and they were being punished for it. It's not how it works, but it was what was commonly believed. Yet Jesus saw her. He saw her pain. He saw her suffering, and he met her right where she was at. And he called out to her, and it tells us in verse 13, then he laid his hands on her, and instantly she was restored and began to glorify God. He met her needs right where they were, right where they were at. And what I find amazing is that woman recognized immediately where the source of her healing came from. She knew it was from God, and she started to praise him. She had been a prisoner for 18 years by her disease. She had suffered for 18 years, and it was Jesus that set her free. Because it's nothing but Christ and Christ alone that can set us free from the bondage, that can set us free from the pain and anything that we're dealing with. You know, often most of us have something that we have suffered or are suffering with throughout our life. And it may not always be a disease like the woman inside of this. Maybe you're someone that is struggling with an addiction this morning. Maybe you're someone that is struggling financially, or maybe you struggle with lust. Maybe you've got in a position where you feel so heartbroken and sorrow all the time that you see absolutely no way out and you don't feel seen, and it doesn't matter how often you cry out and you pray and you ask for help, it doesn't seem like things are working the way you want it to. But I want you to hear me this morning. Jesus sees you. He loves you, and he is the one who ultimately can set you free from this bondage, just as he did with this woman inside of there. And one of the greatest lies the devil has ever done is to tell us that there's no way out, that we are stuck with wherever we're at in life. But I want you to know Jesus does see you. He knows your pain, and he wants to set you free as well. And sometimes the church has not done the best job, and I'm not talking here, I'm talking Big C, overarching church, has not done the best job when we see people who are struggling, who are in pain, who have different things going on. The church throughout history has not always done well at helping those who are struggling. It's not always done well at walking alongside someone who is struggling. Don't get me wrong, there are some who have done an amazing job and have done wonderful work in that area, but sometimes they have fallen flat. And part of it is often we allow our traditions and the way that we've always done things to hold us back from helping those who are in need right here and right now. And we become stuck. And in verse 14, it actually tells us, but the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, responded by telling the crowds, there are 6 days when work should be done. Therefore, come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Jesus had just healed and restored a woman in front of everyone. And it was awesome. The people around them were excited. They were praising God. They had just witnessed a true miracle. 18 years of suffering wiped away. She got her life back. Yet the leader of the synagogue did anything but praise God for what just happened. Instead, he tells them right there, they told the crowd, how dare you do this? Can you imagine watching someone be healed right in front of you and then be like, hey, we can't do that here. That's not how this works. Then instead, they should bring him on another day. Not the Sabbath. Can you imagine being angry because someone was healed? Because someone had their life restored? But it happens. We can allow our view of how things should be done out of tradition to block us from seeing what God is doing. Let me give you an example. I don't know how many of you guys have watched the movie Jesus Revolution yet. If not, highly recommend it, okay? It's been out for a couple years now. Highly recommend it. There's a scene inside of the movie that has always stood out very heavily to me. It's where the hippies start showing up to church on Sunday morning. Okay, and this is a church where everyone is in a suit and tie. It's the 70s, is what's to be expected, right? 60s, 70s. They've got suits and ties on, all of that. And they start showing up to a church on Sunday morning, and they're walking in barefooted and dirty. And they walked in with all types of different struggles in life. They were looking for truth and they were looking for freedom. But many in the church were not happy to see them. They were not happy that they were there. In fact, they were all upset because they were getting the new shag carpeting dirty. And though this is a movie, it's also a reality of what we see at times. They didn't see the people. They didn't see them as someone created in the image of God, somebody with value. Instead, all they saw was the dirt that they had on them. And they tried to kick them out of the church. These were sick. These were the lame. These were people who needed Jesus. And they were saying, no, not here. This isn't the right place. Go clean your life up and then come to us. But I want to tell you, Jesus saw them. Jesus knew who they were. He saw them as somebody worthy to be saved, somebody worthy to go to the cross for. Yet they didn't fit the mold of that church at that time. But that doesn't mean that they were not worthy of Jesus. And let me tell you, we laugh a little bit at that movie scene, but stuff like that still happens today. That still happens in churches today. It's something I've witnessed firsthand. You know, I interviewed with a church one time when I lived back in Indiana, and I was interviewing for a youth pastor position. Now, at that particular time in my life, I helped run this place called The Refuge. And The Refuge was a hard rock venue. And I mean hard rock. And it was a place that reached out to teens and young adults and gave them a safe place to hang out on different nights. And the kids that showed up came from all types of different backgrounds. There were kids there that had great lives. There were kids there that didn't have parents at home. There were kids there that had parents that were divorced and parents on one or both sides were in jail. There were kids there who had parents who were addicted to drugs. And they were looking for a place to be accepted and to be loved. And let me tell you, we got to share Jesus with many of those kids. And a lot of those kids are still walking with Christ today. That was the point of The Refuge. And it was so awesome to watch, to respond and to grow. And it's one of those areas in life that I have a real soft spot for, as you guys know. Because I'm a kid whose parents were divorced. I'm a kid who had parents on drugs. I'm a kid who had a parent in and out of jail. I understand that. You know, I often wondered, why did God allow me to go through those things? Why is it in my teenage years I got to experience all of these different heartbreaks and pain? And I can't still give you 100%, but one of the things I do know is it allowed me to relate to others who are in the middle of a struggle in life and saying, I've been there too, but let me tell you, there's hope found in Jesus. And there's freedom found in that. And if I have to walk through that pain to be able to walk with other people who are there and point them towards Jesus, it was worth every last bit of it. But when I interviewed with that church and they asked me about The Refuge and what we were doing there, one of the questions that someone asked bothered me tremendously. And it was straight point. And this was in their own community. The Refuge was done 3 blocks away from the church. And they asked me, you're not going to bring those kids here though, are you? We don't want them around our kids. I want you to think about that for a moment. They were more concerned with the way that their church appeared. They were more concerned with the traditions that they could no longer see how God was doing something in the midst of their own community. And they didn't want to be part of that. Their church had become a country club for a particular type of people instead of a hospital for hurting people. And that's what we see happening in our passage this morning. This was a hurting person who needed compassion and love. And the leadership of the church of its day was upset that she was helped because it went against tradition. Yet Jesus was there breaking the chains. He was setting people free. He had compassion. He was giving us an example of what we're called to do. And Jesus responded to them in verse 15. And he says, but the Lord answered him and said, hypocrites, doesn't each one of you untie his ox or donkey from the feeding trough on the Sabbath and lead it to water? Jesus pointed out that they're doing the very thing that they're accusing him of. You know, it was okay to break the Sabbath, to work a little bit if it benefited them, but nothing else. They were feeding and giving water. They were doing work, but they were unwilling to help this woman who was made in the image of God, because it didn't fit their mold. It didn't fit their tradition on how things were supposed to be done. And Jesus says then in verse 16, he says, Satan has bound this woman, a daughter of Abraham, for 18 years. Shouldn't she be untied from this bondage on the Sabbath day? He was pointing out how important this woman is. She is a daughter of Abraham. She is dearly loved by God. We have to remember that each and every person is a child of God. Each and every person is created in the image of God, that God made no mistake when he made them. You know, we don't always know somebody's story that when we run into them. We don't always know how they got to the point that they got to. We don't know the pain and the suffering that people have gone through. Not everyone is as blessed as we were on the way that we have grown up. Instead, many people are fighting demons, some of those demons they've been fighting since childhood. And a lot of times they're fighting demons that no one else can see. They're trying to get rid of the hurt, the pain, the suffering. The only ways they know how, because no one has taken the time to show them who Jesus is and how much he loves them. They have no understanding of the real value that life has. And that is something that we as a church, as believers, are called to share with the world around us. To share it with those who don't look like us, talk like us, and act like us. Because we have to remember, we too were once sinners in need of a Savior. We too were nothing but filthy rags. I know it's easy to cast judgment on those who don't know anything that we don't know anything about. It's easy to cast judgment on those who aren't like us. But let us not forget that it's not those who are well that need a doctor, but it is those that are sick. And when we see a life restored, let us do what the people did in verse 17. And it says, when he had said these things, all his adversaries were humiliated, but the whole crowd was rejoicing over all the glorious things he was doing. I want us to rejoice like the crowd did whenever a life is restored, whenever someone discovers the new life of Christ. And the question I have for you guys this week as we go out is, who do you need to have compassion on? Who are those people that you look down on because they don't look like you, talk like you, act like you? Who are those people that don't know who Jesus is? And I'm talking about myself on this one. We all have things that we hold on to, traditions. And which one of those traditions do we need to let go because it's keeping us from sharing the Word of God? It's keeping us from showing love where we need to be showing love. Because we need to remember that the church is a hospital for those who need Jesus, who have chains that need to be broken. We're not a country club. We're a hospital. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity we have to come together and to study your word. Father, we thank you for Jesus, the chain breaker, the one who makes us all new, who removes any bondage that we have if we just turn to him. Lord, may you open our eyes and may we see people for who they are, the way that you love them and cherish them. Father, may we love people as you love people. And may we present you to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fortress in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his
Out this week, may you remember to be a light to the world around you. May you reach out to all in need and just show Jesus to the world. God bless. Have a great week.
I know a name that can silence roaring waves. I know a name that can empty out a grave. I know a name. It is only name that saves, and is worthy of all praise. I call you Jesus. I call you, I call you.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.